Hey everyone, I'm having a good day. I hope you're having a good day. Let's get into today's superhero deep dive. Welcome everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I have a great episode. I'm going to be talking about DC Comics Nightshade. Very, very obscure character. Let me get my disclaimers out of the way and we will get into it. So, the information is pulled from different sources across the internet and may or may not be completely complete, but they do give a really good insight on the current superhero. You can catch me every Tuesday and Thursday throughout the day on Outworld Fleet Radio. Their website is outworldfleetradio.online. You can catch me on X and Instagram under Super Deep Dive. You can catch me on TikTok under Superhero Deep Dive. YouTube under Superhero Deep Dive, where that is the absolute best way to reach me. Please like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. If you have any questions, comments, critiques, interesting facts I may miss, storyline parts I may miss, treatments of characters that you would like to see, or if there are any requests for future episodes, I am all about it. And you can always email me directly. I get quite a few emails that aren't spam. And b4itall@yahoo.com. All right. So before I get into this, I am going to turn the volume off on my phone because I forgot to do it. All right. So superhero fun fact relating to Nightshade. Now, Charleston Comics, which is where Nightshade was originally from, was originally called TWO Charles Company. So, Two Charles Company, named after the co-founder's two infant sons, both named Charles. The company changed its name to Charlton Publications in 1945. Comics were actually a means to an end for Charlton. So, you got that. All right. Other popular characters with Charlton is like Captain Atom. I believe Blue Beetle was one of them. So, you know, it's pretty cool. They were a cool company. But we are going to be talking about Nightshade. Now, Nightshade's real name is Eve Eden. And she was first introduced in Captain Atom number 82 as a partner for the titular hero. Her real name is Eve Eden, and her father is a U.S. Senator. She's blonde and wears a black wig as Nightshade, and she was romantically involved with Captain Atom for a brief time. She appeared several times in Captain Atom's stories, I can't say his name, before getting her own backup series in the last three published issues, which is like number 87 through 89. She also appeared in the last unpublished Captain Atom story that appeared in the fanzine Charlton Bullseye. In this backup series, Tiger, who is Judo Master's grown-up sidekick, is her martial arts instructor. The source of her powers is also finally described. Her mother, Magda, was actually a visitor from another dimension whose denizens have the ability to transform into living two-dimensional shadows. She passed these powers on to her son and daughter. And on a visit to this dimension, Magda and her children were attacked. Mortally wounded, Magda is able to transport herself and Eve back to Earth, and Eve promised to return and find her brother. Unfortunately, this never occurs during the Charleston years. Now, in 1981, Nightshade would appear in issue number 7 of the new Charlton Bullseye comic. Her last Charlton appearance, would be in a story that teamed up all the Charlton action heroes as the Sentinels of Justice and in her own one-shot by AC Comics. Once integrated into the DC universe in Crisis on Infinite Earths, Nightshade was revamped as a government super spy who worked for Task Force X, which is also Suicide Squad. Many of her adventures alongside Captain Atom during their Charlton interactions were retconned into instead being with King Faraday. While the Suicide Squad's core group was busy dealing with the events of the crossover legends, Nightshade, along with fellow spy Nemesis, was sent overseas to infiltrate the mercenary death squad known as Jihad. Taking the name Chimera, Nightshade was forced to participate in the massacre of innocent civilians at an airport as Jihad sought to demonstrate their effectiveness to a potential client. Oh, wow. Okay, this event deeply affected Nightshade, causing tension between her and Suicide Squad leader Amanda Waller. As a result of the mission with Jihad, Nightshade was removed from her position as a spy and given the job of being the handler for the mentally unstable sorceress known as the Enchantress. She also served as Waller's liaison between Task Force X and a rival government program known as Project Atom, which brought Nightshade into contact with the superhero Captain Atom. As the series progressed, Nightshade revealed her past to her team. Her post-crisis origin was that she was the princess of the Land of Nightshades. Eve Enan's mother, Maureen, was the queen of the Land of Nightshades and fled to Earth with her infant children to escape the demonic power of an entity known as the Incubus. Eve believed that she was a normal child until her mother took her and her brother Larry. Larry? Why do you name, like, your daughter a beautiful name like Eve, and then your son's name is Larry? I don't know. But the mother took them into the Land of Nightshades to show them their true heritage. This was a costly mistake. The Incubus found them, kidnapped Larry, and mortally wounded Maureen. Eve's mother used her last breath to reveal to Eve her hereditary powers over darkness. Eve promised her dying mother that she would one day return to save her younger brother, and the Incubus possessed Larry's body, taking care of him in the process, and hid within the Land of Nightshades, taking care of all the remaining human inhabitants. It was revealed that when Nightshade, who, in the post-crisis, now possessed the ability of teleportation, used her powers to teleport, that the process required her to pass through the barren and haunted Land of Nightshades. Oh my gosh, this seems like they just butchered the character, in my opinion. I'm gonna keep going with the history, but this is not as fun as I was hoping it would be. So Waller gave Nightshade permission to take a team for her personal mission in return for her help in taking down a drug cartel overseas. It was volunteer only, but everyone currently on the team agreed to go with the exception of Captain Boomerang. Bronze Tiger had to take him out, get him drunk, and drag him along unconscious. That's not right, man. Alright, but they entered the Land of Nightshades and discovered that Larry was taken care of, and the body was controlled by the Incubus. It was revealed that June Moon's mysterious and evil Enchantress persona was in truth the entity known as the Succubus. The two entities sought to possess Larry and Eve and force the siblings to conceive a child who would be the incarnation of their demonic master. That's nasty. Enchantress was stripped of her powers when the Succubus left her body to possess Nightshade. The evil entity failed to realize that Nightshade's will was stronger than her brother's, and she was destroyed. Nightshade absorbed the Succubus' powers. With the Succubus defeated, Nightshade passively watched as her teammate Deadshot finished the mission, taking care of the Incubus by shooting the entity in the head. Nightshade was also a permanent fixture in the Suicide Squad series, appearing throughout the series' run. When the Suicide Squad series came to an end, Nightshade was shown working for Sergeant Steel in the CBI. She made several appearances in the Superboy and the Ravers comic, and would also be part of the LAW miniseries, which reunited all the Charlton action heroes owned by DC. During the Superman-Batman story arc, Public Enemies, she was for a brief time under the control of Gorilla Grodd, trying to capture Superman for a $1 billion reward. This was part of a grouping of superpowered individuals, most villains, also brainwashed by Gorilla Grodd. The reward was set out by then-President Lex Luthor, and the confrontations take place in Washington, D.C. Nightshade and the villains were ultimately defeated. So, yeah, you got that. Nightshade has since resurfaced as a member of the Shadow Pact in the Day of Vengeance miniseries. She's been paired with Detective Chimp, because why not, resulting in some good-natured bickering. During the Infinite Crisis crossover, she joined a legion of DC's magic-based characters battling the Seven Deadly Sins, but was captured by Felix Faust and eventually used by Alex Luthor to bring back Earth 4. In Shadow Pack number 1, Nightshade and the other Shadow Pack members entered the town of River Rock, Wyoming, which was shielded from the outside world. She met a villainous counterpart named Sister Shadow. Since then, she has served with the Shadow Pack, battling a host of magical villains, and in Shadow Pack number 7, it was revealed that she requires some measure of concentration to form elaborate darkness constructs. When she and her partner Ragman, who we did a deep dive on, Ragman is awesome by the way, were attacked by the congregation. As a result, she was unable to conjure her more elaborate darkness creatures until Blue Devil managed to get the congregation away from her. Despite this, Nightshade and her teammates found themselves blinded by the congregation's light power, and for the first time in her life, she experienced darkness. Whatever, dude. The character, they just keep butchering the character. Her name is Nightshade, and she's like, she's never experienced darkness. Shut up, man. Like this, you're messing it up. Alright, with the assistance of Madame Xanadu, the Shadow Pack set about restoring Nightshade's sight, although fully restoring it took several days. She is now capable of manifesting up to 3 giant humanoids at once. Now, during the events of the Blackest Night storyline, which should have been like right up her alley, Nightshade has apparently rejoined the Suicide Squad. The team is sent to Belrive to kidnap former member Deadshot. Nightshade attacks several of Deadshot's teammates on the Secret Six, but is defeated by Black Alice after she steals Nightshade's powers and uses them to render her unconscious. After a group of Black Lanterns composed of former Suicide Squad members arrives at Belrive to feast on the assembled metahumans, Amanda Waller knocks Black Alice out cold to give Nightshade back her abilities, which Nightshade believes is actually too far, as Alice is just a kid. Whatever. Her powers restored, Nightshade joins the combined Suicide Squad and Secret Six members in fighting off the Black Lanterns. Sometime after the events of Blackest Night, Nightshade is once again shown to be working with Shadow Pact. While in another dimension, she and Nightmaster are attacked by Eclipso and his brainwashed servant, Shade. After defeating both heroes, Eclipso brings Nightshade under his mental control. In Blue Beetle, a retired from Heroics Ted Kord references Nightshade by name, calling her a comely young heroine from back in my Beetle days. In the Batman vs. Deathstroke story arc of Deathstroke, Nightshade appears as an antagonist to Deathstroke, both seeking to recover a biological weapon. Nightshade sends a living shadow to attack Deathstroke and grab the box with the weapon on the memory key after he had extracted it from an ice wall. Deathstroke assumes that Amanda Waller has something to do with it, but Nightshade responds that both he and she herself aren't with the squad anymore, but are still tangled with US intelligence operation. As she attacks with her magic, she mentions that she is an orphan and the last of her line, Homo Magi and the Royal House of the Land of Nightshades. She can't transport Deathstroke to the Land of Nightshades because the Promethium in his equipment is capable of absorbing most types of energy, including the Night Force. Oh my gosh. Okay. Instead, she uses her Shadow Matter Raven, Hudgeon, to transport Robin, who is Damian Wayne, to Deathstroke, or who Deathstroke is working with begrudgingly, to a Land of Nightshades, where humans are driven insane as they're faced with their worst nightmares, to force Deathstroke to open the box and give the weapon inside to her, because she can't safely open it herself without setting off the explosives in the box. She states that the weapon is terrible, and that she will destroy the weapon even though that will go against her employer. After throwing the box to Robin, she also threatens Deathstroke that Robin might also open the box and thereby set off the explosives during his insanity. Deathstroke says that they both know she won't let Robin die, but she responds that she used to know but a lot has changed. After Deathstroke gets Robin out of this realm, he opens the box and hands over a corrupted duplicate that Robin has switched for the real one. She then flies away with the duplicate while Robin refuses to hand over the actual weapon to Deathstroke. Later, Adalyn Kane reveals to Batman, disguised as Deathstroke, that she had hired Nightshade to secure the biological weapon. In the Witching Hour crossover story arc, she is seen during the Sisterhood of the Sleight Hand meeting at the Oblivion Bar, where she rescues Tracy 13 by pulling her into the Shadow Dimension as Witchfire, possessed by Hecate, burns and thereby takes care of many of the people inside the bar. After escaping through the Shadow Dimension, alongside Tracy 13 and Enchantress, Nightshade is seen using shadows to capture Manitel Dawn, who is possessed by Hecate. In the finale of the arc, she is seen alongside a few other heroes as they confront and defeat Hecate, who was then possessing Wonder Woman. In Doomsday Clock, she appears alongside Blue Beetle, The Question, and Captain Atom in the Bug Airship as they travel to Mars. There, they and many of the Earth's other superheroes confront and fight Dr. Manhattan. In the battle, she fires blasts of shadows to him. All the superheroes are, however, defeated and incapacitated by Dr. Manhattan. Wow, so what do you guys think of this character? Like, I was really excited when I started talking about the character. And I gathered the information, but I wanted to kind of approach it fresh. So I didn't really read a lot into it, because it is such an obscure character. But man, it just looks like everything they put her in, they just kind of butcher the character more and more. This character is just turns into such a malleable hero, because they're like, oh yeah, she can do this now. Oh yeah, we're gonna have her do this. And I don't like it. I just don't like what they've done. I don't know. You let me know though. Now, like I said, you can reach out to me via email at b4itall@yahoo.com. You can catch me on X and Instagram under Super Deep Dive. I'm also on TikTok and YouTube under Superhero Deep Dive. YouTube is the absolute best place because I do like a slideshow with it. We have discussions on, you know, what you would do with the character, how you would treat it. Would you put it in a TV show, a movie, whatever. I mean, I'm all about it. But yeah, let me get into her powers though. So, Eve Eden's powers are hereditary as the only survivor member of her royal family. Nightshade can teleport herself and others by passing them through the Land of Nightshades, but it subjects them to their worst nightmares. She has the ability to transform herself into a semi-solid shadow form, but it requires a great amount of concentration or manipulate darkness. Eve is even capable of creating giant figures called homunculi out of the shadows. Fun facts. In an unproduced proposal for a Justice League of America animated series, Nightshade was one of several characters redesigned by Bruce Timm, though she did not appear in Justice League nor Justice League Unlimited. She does, however, appear in the Superman-Batman Public Enemies animated movie. She appears in DC Showcase Blue Beetle. And, let's see here. In Watchmen, the comic series, the female superhero character Silk Spectre was originally supposed to be Nightshade. But once the idea of using the Charlton characters was abandoned, writer Alan Moore decided to take inspiration from the other superheroes. So, you know, Watchmen is considered, it's arguably one of like the top comic book stories of all time. And she could have been in it. She could have been in it. Night Owl would have been Blue Beetle. Rorschach would have been The Question. I believe Dr. Manhattan would have been Captain Atom. These are all Charlton characters. So there was stuff there, and the fact that she is just so obscure now, you never see anything outside of like that Suicide Squad stuff. Like, and she wasn't even a big member because she wasn't in any of the movies. So like, she wasn't even a that recognizable of a character in that. But you know, what can you do? Let me tell you, I've been doing some thinking on the character. Now, like I said, when I researched the character, I pulled information and compiled it, but I didn't really read a lot into it. The one thing I did read about was her powers. And I wanted to, because she's such an obscure character, I wanted to approach it from like a fresh eyes. But with looking at the powers, I kind of came up with what I think is a pretty cool idea. So Nightshade has always been kind of a weird character. She's been in the background for a lot of things, and sometimes her costume looks borderline homemade. But I think it's these things that kind of lends to her charm. Like, she's got a cool power, and it looks like with the proper training, she could grow it. Her power stems from the Land of Nightshades, but it makes me wonder if that could just be another name for the Shadowlands, like with Obsidian, who we just recently did a deep dive on. They all seem kind of connected. She can teleport, but it reveals it reveals the people's nightmares and worst fears, and that's kind of a weird trade-off, you know? So the aspect I like most about the character, though, is that the fact is, if she has to see these nightmares and fears so many times, she might just get used to it, right? And get kind of numb to it. So I guess that means her fears overall just keep evolving and ramping up. Because if she was able to go through the Land of Nightshades without being affected, then I'm imagining that the Land of Nightshades kind of fuels itself with the reaction of those fears and nightmares. So if she's not fueling it, it's got to ramp up, right? There's got to be something different each time. So with that kind of back and forth where she's constantly being exposed to like her worst fears, her nightmares, and she's getting kind of numb to it where it doesn't bother her, and then it evolves into something more and something worse, she could end up being theoretically the most demented hero in the DC universe. So just imagine what could happen if she went bad. Like, what if she could make her shadow creatures into the things of nightmares and fears? You know, she could basically be the ultimate version of the Scarecrow. And that's something I'd love to see in the comics, especially with how she's just constantly shrugged off as a side character. You know, I think that there's a lot of potential with it, but not in a positive way. I want to see this character just be downright something switch inside of her brain. And she just goes insane. I think that would be amazing. I think as a hero, she's destined to be an obscure character that is lucky to be in the background, if at all. I think as a villain, she could be a heavy hitter. I think she could be one of the main villains in the DC universe. But I'd love to know what you guys think. Do you like my treatment? Do you have other suggestions? What would you do? I'd love to hear your thoughts, your questions, critiques, your thoughts on the character, what you would do with it. If you have requests for future episodes, anything like that, I am all about it. You can email me directly if you'd like at b4itall@yahoo.com. You can catch me on X and Instagram under Super Deep Dive. You can catch me on YouTube and TikTok under Superhero Deep Dive. I'd love it if you comment, like, subscribe, share, hit the notification bell, all that good stuff. It really helps me out. But yeah, what do you guys think? What would you do with Nightshade? Because there's a lot here that you could do. But guys, I think that's going to do it for me this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please continue to do so. In the meantime, I hope everyone is blessed. I hope everyone is happy. I hope everyone is safe. And I hope everyone is smart. But if you're not smart, don't get caught. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.